everyone. It's good to see you here this morning. It's good to be with you online today, have part of our New Hope family in one place that's all over the place. And so glad that you're with us today as we continue just rocking along in this series of trying to answer this question, which feels like such a big question. What does a Christ follower look like? So what's a disciple of Jesus Christ look like? And so we've had some fun, and it's been challenging for me. And I know if it's been challenging for me, it's probably been challenging for you as well. And hopefully it's kind of hitting home for us, you know, as being followers of Christ in the world today. I want to start with a question, and it doesn't matter what age you are. I think, well, at least if you've been in school, how many of you have started a new school before in your life? Just to kind of show of hands here, if you've started a new school before ever, it's like, ooh, that's been a long time. Yeah, okay, at home, have you started a new school before? Yeah, so what about this one? Maybe if you're a little bit older, how many of you have started a new job before? Yeah, what about you at home? Maybe, new job, yeah, or getting ready to start a new job? All right, so if you've gone to a new school before, if you've started a new job before, then you probably can remember going through filling out paperwork, getting maybe an ID taken. The students here, have you had to take an ID picture or something like that perhaps? Or work, you have a work ID, you had to get your picture taken. Maybe you had to get your email set up. I know the students have really, that was a big push, right? Especially when they started out virtual and needed that. But you can think to maybe a uniform that you had to get so that you were dressed like your coworkers or at school, you know, whatever the case may be. Thinking, perhaps learning when you had to be somewhere and where you had to be, maybe what classroom you had to go to start your day, or where you had to be on site at your job or off site, right? Or at that certain field at a certain time of the morning, the tractor ready to go, you know, for our farmers, and whatever that may be. You had to maybe think about, man, who is it that I've got to work with? Who am I working with? Who have I got to come alongside? Who do I need to kind of catch up with first thing in the morning? So much, right? So much. You're trying to figure out, I've got to adjust into this new job, this new school, and basically, you're joining a community. Can you see that? Basically, you start a new job, you're coming into a new community, people are working in the same company you are, people are at the same school that you are, and it's part of the community. If you're in Newburgh, then more than likely you're probably a part of what community? Knight community, right? You're probably part of the castle, the knight community. And if you're elsewhere, you're part of that community as well. If you're a part of New Hope, we would say, just like I did already, you're part of the what family? The New Hope family. Even though you're not here with us on site, you're still part of the New Hope family. And we're glad that we can all gather together. Really am. So I want to start with that and let that kind of springboard us, if you will, into where we're going to go as we keep on into the Great Commission this morning. If you have your Bible with you today, or you know, either the book, or if you've got the on your phone or tablet, you want to open that up today, we'd invite you to do that to the Gospel of Matthew. And if you'll go to chapter 28, verse 18, we're going to be right there at the end of Matthew's Gospel, right before, if you get to Mark, then just go backwards and you'll run into Matthew's Gospel. We're going to go right back to the Great Commission again. This is where we've been sitting for the last last 3 weeks, and so we're going to go there today. We're going to focus on a little part of it, but I'm going to read verse 18 through the beginning of 20, and I tell you what, if there's any students that are here today, if you do not have maybe a Bible right there, on your phone or something in front of you, can you lean and look on maybe a parent or a friend's Bible? Because I've got a couple questions that I'm going to ask, and I'm hoping that you can answer that for me. And if you're at home or wherever you may be this morning, if you know the answer, hey, especially on Facebook Live, would you do me a favor? Would you go into the comment and just type the answer into that comment? And I imagine you'll probably be able to find it. So let's jump in. Ready? Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. We're going to go to verse 18. Let's start reading there. Jesus came near and spoke to them. He said, I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. Let's pause for a moment. God, I ask that your Spirit would bless the reading of your word today, that it would not go out void, but that it would be a vessel through which you, by your Spirit, speak into our hearts, continue to grow us up in Christ, that we would continue to passionately serve this calling on our lives to make disciples with you and each other to grow your kingdom. Amen. All right, students, you ready? I know it's easy. You're going to nail this. You guys are so smart. What is the first action word that ends in ing in this passage? You're like, what? I didn't have my coffee yet, and I don't even drink coffee. I know, I'm going to push and stretch this a little bit. What is the first verb, which is an action word, right? What is the first verb in this passage that ends in an ing? And we got an answer right here. My version that I read that ends in ing. What do you got? Baptizing. Did everybody catch that? All right, very good. Well done, well done. You get your gold star for today. All right, so Jesus has told the disciples, he's like, I want you to go and make disciples. And he's already said go, and we talked about that, right, is kind of going out and influencing with the good news of Jesus. But then he gives another part of that, which is also essentially, again, it's describing that work of making disciples. So it's not saying it's something that you're doing in addition to. It's something that describes the way in which disciples are being made. And that's super important to catch when we're trying to get this picture of what it means to be a disciple who's building community, kingdom community. All right. So how many of you have heard of baptism before? Just show of hands. Heard that? You online? Have you heard of baptism before? Excellent. And so baptism, just to kind of make sure we're all on sort of an equal footing here as we step into this. You know, baptism was a religious practice that was done that signified a person had been cleansed, okay? And so when John the Baptist, if you think back, was preaching repentance, right, from sin, being baptized, he was baptizing people as he preached, you know, repent for the kingdom of heaven, you know, is at hand, is coming in, repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. And so I knew they'd eventually come out of my mouth. I just had to keep saying it. And so, you know, John the Baptist is baptizing people. And then who does John the Baptist get to baptize? Jesus, right? If you know a little familiar with the story. And so did Jesus need to be baptized for repentance, the forgiveness of sin? No, because he's God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. And so Jesus decides to be baptized to associate himself, to identify himself with the people that he's coming to earth to save, to forgive their sins, to cleanse them from their sins through his blood shed on the cross. And so then, you know, the disciples and the church, if we kind of keep pushing along here, you know, they are they're baptizing folks in the early church. They kept doing that as we refer to as a sacrament, right? So this this act that they were doing that celebrated the work that God had done in this new believer's life, and that God would do through their baptism and on moving forward. And it was this initiation into this community, right? That coming into this group of these people, this association of people who believe the same thing about Jesus, that he is the Savior of the world. He's God's Son, right? So he's the Lord of heaven and of earth. Yeah. And so for them, it became this way of identifying and initiating believers in Christ into this geographically and ethnically, racially, politically, and gender diverse community. Do you get the point that it's pretty diverse, right? So you have people from all these different regions, different walks of life, different professions, people whose skin tone was different, who spoke a little bit different language, who had a little bit different habits, and a little nuance of different beliefs, but they believed that Jesus was God's Son, who was the Savior of the world. And so the church was baptizing these people into this community. It was we call the community of faith. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 said, we've all been baptized into one body by one Spirit. and we all share the same Spirit. And you had people from all different communities being baptized, but all being baptized into one community. One. We can look so differently, but we are one. And we can speak different languages, but we are one. And we can have different experiences, but we are still one. We can have different preferences, but we are still one in Christ. Baptism, I like to think of it as it's kind of God. It feels like God's way of cutting through the diversity of humanity that too often divides us and connects us all at our confession of our need for Jesus for salvation. That comes not by our own works or own merit, but it comes by God's grace. And we all get to stand before God as one people who need forgiveness through grace. For me, when I look at the climate of our times, I think that's a very important message to stand on. I think that's a message that needs to be reminded of the body of Christ. Because I'm not too naive to think that, hey, probably in the times in which we're walking through and even wrestling with, that maybe some of the struggles are not just coming from people who don't know Jesus. But some of the struggles may even be coming into the world through people who claim to know Jesus, but yet see themselves as being better and more valuable than somebody else. We need to remember that we have been called by Jesus to build a community who is one through our faith in Christ. And one of the great ways that we make disciples is by baptizing people with that belief and then living it out in the world. I am so excited that at the end of this month, we have one of our young folks here who's an early elementary student has chosen to be baptized and is going to be baptized at the end of this month. And so it's Ariana. If you haven't had a chance to meet Ariana yet, I would encourage you to do that. She is a sweet young lady and just a joy to be around. And I've gotten a chance to know her and her family a little bit as they've been here for a few months. They started coming as the family, as we're meeting outside, right, in the parking lot and online. And is so excited to have them a part of our family. And so at the end of the month, Ariana is going to be baptized. And so we're looking forward to that. That'll be a lot of fun to have that experience. And her baptism is going to be this outward expression of her faith and salvation that she has received already through her faith in Jesus Christ. And it's also going to be us recognizing that she's a part of the church family, right? Just like all of us, she's a part of the church family through her faith, and we are excited that she's going to come alongside us, and she's going to help us make disciples of Christ who love, grow, and serve for the glory of God as we go through these days. And it's so cool, right? I'm so glad that we get to share that with her, and she gets to experience baptism here at New Hope, be a part of the New Hope family. Ariana, we're so excited, girl. You're just amazing and so cool to see what God's going to keep doing with you as you keep growing older. It's pretty cool. So excited. I think she thinks I'm a little goofy because I get so excited about this, but that's okay. And I would say to you and to folks who are listening today, if you're part of the New Hope family have been coming for a while and you've never been baptized, but you do believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you want to live your life for Him, we would love to talk to you about being baptized and being a part of this community. And so would you just reach out to me. You can do that through our website. You can email me. It's andy@nhccforall.com. You can reach me after service if you're on site. You can call the church. Any way you can do it, just let us know, myself, maybe one of our elders here, and we'd love to talk to you about being baptized perhaps at the end of this month or at a different time. Awesome. All right. That was good. Let's keep going. All right. So I need my students again. Are you ready? Okay, so, easy question. What is the second verb in that sentence that ends with an ing? I need somebody. Any of our students get it? Catch it yet? Teaching. Isn't that exciting? You just can't wait, can you? Just teaching. What do you think we're doing this morning? Teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you, Jesus told them. Teaching. Urging people to learn, to hold on to, live by. Jesus' whole body of teachings that are given to us in the Gospels. Is that a lot? It seems like a lot to me. It seems kind of overwhelming. Like, what if I forget some things? What if I miss something? You know, what if I don't teach it right? Oh my goodness, there feels like there's so much at stake in Jesus saying, teach them everything that I've commanded you. I just want to let the dramatic pause, just kind of sit there for a moment, because it just feels like there's so much there. And think about this. I mean, you have Jesus, his parables. You've got prophecies. You've got proverbs that he gave. You've got preaching and teaching. You have the blessings that he decreed. You have his life and the way he acted. You have what he didn't do. Think of some of the times when he got frustrated, instead of acting out of maybe that anxiety or that frustration, you think of what he maybe chose not to do or say in that moment, right? So you just have so much, the whole body of teachings. But here's the thing. It's not about getting every nuance perfect. Yes, know the Gospels. Yes, know the teachings of Jesus Christ. But the heart of Jesus saying, I want you to disciple people by teaching them to obey what I've commanded you, is really at heart, it's working to pass along a culture that shares common values that are shaped by the heart of Jesus. That which he taught during his life, that which he acted out in his life, by where he chose to go and who he chose to be with. And who maybe he chose not to be with. You ever think about some of the times that Jesus chose not to go somewhere, or chose not to spend time with certain people, or chose not to act or say certain things, that maybe some of those are good at teaching us as much as what he said and did and where he went? Absolutely. Both sides are important. You know, the early church, I'm talking about like when it was fresh out of the gate, right? And it's going, and Jesus sent it to heaven, and here they are. They've got to keep this train rolling down the track. That they tried to do this. In fact, they invented this kind of a manual to help all these different churches and different places to be able to have one sort of systematic learning tool, almost like a manual, if you will. And they called that thing the Didache. And I'm not going to go through all of that today, but the church had that. And then you go into the fourth century, and then the church develops the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. Anybody heard of either one of those before, right? So they developed that, and largely to help flesh out some beliefs about who Jesus was and the Holy Spirit. But they have that so that wherever these churches are growing and being planted and popping up, and people are trying to learn, what is this thing about Jesus we're trying to learn, you know? That they can have a common base that they're teaching. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ believes. This is what we believe. And it's grounded on the scriptures that we have. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you, when I thought about, when I said teaching, you, your head sort of automatically pictured a teacher in front of a classroom and everybody sitting in their desks? And you're, you know, like you are today, almost kind of like sitting in a chair, listen to somebody talk to you. Like, how many of you, your mind went straight to their teaching? So our teacher in the back said, yes, that's exactly where my head went. It's part of that. But friends, it's more than that. It is way more than that. If we think of, you know, just teaching them to obey as this is what the preacher does, right? Well, this is what our small group leader does. That's not what I do. I mean, that's what that person does because that's what they've chosen to do. This is what a Sunday school teacher does. You know, this is what our hope kids, you know, teachers and assistants, that's their responsibility to do that, like to stand for and tell the stories and talk about Jesus and help them understand what baptism is and what communion is and what it means to have a daily life with Jesus Christ and walk with the Lord, right? What does that mean? So to teach and pass that along, I think is as much in the things that we say as it is in the way in which we live. Because you realize we teach more by what we do than what we say, and we communicate more by how we carry ourselves than honestly in the words that we say. You agree? Absolutely. How bad would it be if I said, Jesus is the hope of the world, but I, instead of going, Jesus is the hope of the world, I said, Jesus is the hope of the world. That really makes you want to believe in, you know, it's like, I don't need that. I'd rather have Jesus as the hope of the world. I want some of that. How we do and say is ever as important to teach as the words that come out of our mouths. So you and I, well, I know I can't say me because I'm standing here doing this. I can't be included in this. So if you're not in a position of teaching someone, you said that's somebody else's role. No, it's not. Because every day, wherever you go, and when you're at home with your family, if you're at school, when you're at church, when you're doing stuff with the church, you're in a small group, whatever the case may be, the way you carry yourself, that reflects, here we go, that reflects the meaning and the message of that cross and the man who hung on that cross and died on that cross and was buried but raised from the dead 3 days later for the forgiveness of sins, to heal, to redeem, to give hope, to rebirth and renew, to restore. The way we carry ourselves that tells that message that's happened in us, every bit as much passes along the culture of the Church of Jesus Christ as me standing here and telling you that disciple making is building a community who's baptizing and teaching people. Can I go so far as to say that the life that you live outside these doors is more important than me standing up here on Sunday morning and preaching and teaching? Because I'm all day long going to stand behind that truth right there. We are the church. We are disciple makers building a community together. And you can be at home and you're still part of building a community as the work of making disciples. You're just doing it in a little different way. Doesn't matter where we are. It's the same work for us all. One of the great experiences that I have had has been going through Walk to Emmaus. I know a number of you have gone through Walk to Emmaus before or one of the other options that are out there. And so I just happened to have the opportunity to go through Walk to Emmaus. And one of the things that I really enjoy and appreciate about Walk to Emmaus event, it's a weekend event, you're able to come together with different people from different backgrounds, different walks of life, different churches, different communities, different races, different social and political worldviews, professions. I mean, the differences and the diversity is tremendous, okay? And I love how at a Walk to Emmaus event, you take all these different folks and you bring them together for a weekend. And that weekend centers around Jesus. And for me, that is gorgeous. That's absolutely beautiful. Because when you think about teaching people to obey what Jesus commanded, it's about teaching people that the thing that unites us is Jesus, and our calling is the same regardless of whatever differentiates us for what we see with the eyes or maybe even sometimes hear with the ear. Or smell with the nose, if you get what I'm saying, that we come together and say, our lives are about Jesus. And Walk to Emmaus is a discipleship journey and a weekend that's about discipling brothers and sisters in faith, building a community that will go out and make disciples through their local church, who will in turn make disciples, keep going that process, keep going and going over and over. And I think it's such a wonderful, wonderful time and just of being together for that purpose. And I asked Tony Schauberger if he would just take 3 minutes, and he's going to come up here and he's going to share. Come on up, Tony. Why don't you come up with us, brother, and just share about his experience, because he and I actually, we got to go through Walk to Emmaus the same weekend, right, for the first time participating in it. And so I asked him if he would just take a minute and share about his Walk to Emmaus experience with us. Go ahead, buddy.
Thanks. So I am Tony Schauberger, and I serve you guys as one of the elders here at New Hope. And Andy did call me a couple days ago and asked me to do this, and we went on that walk about a year ago. So generally, I have a tough time remembering what happened last week, much less a year ago. But I didn't really have to think about it or go dig up any notes, because there was one thing that clearly stuck out to me that was burned into my mind, and it can be summed up in one word. It was encouragement. I was so encouraged that weekend that I wanted to make sure that when I got home in my everyday life, I encouraged others. I mean, it was a big deal getting away from the world for 3 days and be able to focus on my relationship with Jesus. And I was very thankful for the many people that had taken tons of their time, many hours put in so that I could have that experience. And I was highly encouraged by this young guy that was there, that he was there pursuing God. He was dealing with issues in his life that, you know, caused him lots of stress. It was really a special weekend. And I do have to mention the food was incredible. But, you know, Paul, the giant of the faith that he was, in Romans chapter 1, mentioned that he was encouraged by the faith of other believers. And I find that very interesting. The guy that wrote a big chunk of the New Testament, he was encouraged by the faith of younger believers. So it was neat to know that it just wasn't me that walked away from that weekend encouraged, but guys that were there that were further down the road than I, they were encouraged by my faith. So, you know, for all of us, regardless of where you guys are in your walk, you're an encouragement to everyone around you. I'm very thankful that at least to some degree we've been able to get back in the building and meet in our small groups some, but I will be really thankful when we're all back together again, because we really do need each other. I would just like to thank Gary for encouraging me to go to the event, and thank Milton. He sponsored me and got me back and forth from there. If you guys are interested, just let us know. We'd love it if you would be able to attend one of those Emmaus weekends. Thanks.
I think it's so cool how you can get folks together. And it was, you know, we were on a men's weekend, and they have a separate ladies' weekend. And, you know, when we were there, it's just crazy because you get, if you've ever been on an event like that or anything, you know, of that nature, you get folks together, man, you're learning together and you're laughing together, you're eating together, you're singing together, you know, maybe even cry together, you're praying together, serving together, just having a good time building relationships and just what we'd call fellowship, right? But that fellowship is so rich because it's not centered on anything really other than that we share Jesus. Because like that's the one thing that matters the most, and we come together on that, and we build from that together, and we take that back. And it's so, like Tony just nailed it, like it is so encouraging. And what's so cool is that, you know, like for Tony, if you don't know Tony Schauberger well, I'm going to encourage you to get to know him really well. He's a fantastic, awesome guy. We love having him as one of our elders here. And he does have he's got a pretty decent grasp of the scriptures. And I love how, you know, his testimony, it was not about the knowledge that he learned that helped him in his walk with Christ. It was the body of Christ encouraging him that lifted him up, that really lit a fire under him. And I love that. And I believe that drives home the point that teaching is part passing along knowledge. We need to do that. But my goodness, oh, how do we teach through the lives we live and what we say and what we commit to, and the priorities that we set, and the sacrifices that we make, and who we serve and when we do it, who we lift up, who we rejoice with and who we mourn with whenever the time calls for it. Man, that's part of it as well. So, Tony, thank you for sharing that today. Man, I'm so grateful for you doing that. So what does a disciple look like? Well, we painted a little bit of a picture yet again today, hopefully in a real simple way for us. And, you know, really, that's you. it's you. And it's me. It's you, right? Building a community of Jesus followers who are influencing, baptizing, teaching each other and others to walk, embrace, hold on to, live your life sold out to the teachings of Christ. Simply, to really love God and really love people together. Because that's the heart of it, right? It's the greatest commandment. That's what we're getting at. Pass along the great commandment. Teach your kids love for God. Teach your kids a love for people. Teach your grandkids a love for God by the way they see you loving God. And the way that you treat them. And the way you treat other people. Parents, one of the hardest lessons I've learned in parenting, for those of you may not know, I have two children if you're online with us for the first time. And I love them to death. And one of the challenging things I've had to learn is that the way I respond in times of maybe being frustrated reflects the Jesus in me. And I have to pay attention to that. Because my job is to make disciples of my children. And so I have to pay attention to the words that come out of my mouth and the way I respond, the way I carry myself, the priorities I set for God, my family, myself. To die to self, to live for Christ, to bless your family, to serve them, to honor them, lift them up. Whew. It is hard work, isn't it? Can I get an amen? It's challenging. Not because my kids are any different than your kids, but and they're going to learn if they have families of their own, then they'll experience the same kind of thing. But they do. I mean, it's like going to school and you get frustrated, or you're at home and you get frustrated, and it's how you respond in your frustration and your anger and your disappointment. Yeah, your discouragement. But it's how you shine Christ over your own preference for emotional anxiety in the moment. Like, that's what we're working, right? That's what we're working at. That's what a disciple of Christ is looking like. That person that's growing at saying, I've chosen to follow Jesus. I believe in the message of the cross. I believe in the power of Christ in me. And though I am overwhelmed in this moment, I am not overcome, because by Jesus I am an overcomer. And I choose to say, Lord, help me, and may your grace funnel through me that I may reflect Jesus in this moment and not what I feel is my just angry response. And maybe that's at work too. Or with family members. Or with that neighbor. I don't know. But we're called to make disciples. And it's the real deal. And it's challenging. But it is the divine calling on the church. It's not an option. We must do that. And we'll keep doing it to the best of our ability by the grace of God. Is that a hard challenge or what? Mercy, it is. It's a phenomenal challenge. This whole series so far has been challenging. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Have hope, because next week we're going to end this series on a high note. We're going to end it on an encouraging note. We're going to end it on a hopeful note as we wrap out this passage that we've been in, Matthew chapter 28, okay? So if you can, be here next Sunday on site, online. Be with us. Let's finish out this series strong as we talk about it. What does a disciple of Christ look like? I know you've got some of those answers in your head already from where we've been. But hey, let's keep going. Let's finish this journey strong for the glory of God. And let's let him keep shaping us and challenging us and refining us so that we continue to be effective out in the world for the gospel, for the cause of seeing people come to know Jesus and growing up in their faith, becoming disciples who make disciples. Amen. our worship team would come this morning as we close out our service and respond to this word in a time of singing, I would ask that you would join me in a word of prayer. God, you have so clearly called us to work with you. And man, that is humbling that you want us to work with you. You haven't just said, go do this. You've said, do this with me. And do it together. Make disciples who make disciples. God, help us, because that is so hard. We need your Holy Spirit to bless the work, to grow us. Help us to die to the things that are not helpful to making disciples. Help us to be awakened and passionate and embracing those things which are helpful in the work of making disciples. Help us grow up in Christ, that we can be our best for you. Please bless the work we do, Christ. I ask this in your beautiful, powerful name. Amen.